To some of us, maybe not everyone has received it yet, but to some of us, happy Sabbath. And I want to go ahead and start right away because I know that there are so many programs now live. We have to jump from one to the next to the next. Tim, if you could pray for us, that'd be awesome.
Awesome. Let's bow our heads. Dear Jesus, thank you for another week and for Sabbath and for bringing us to a time when we can fellowship and worship and get closer to you. And I just pray that during this time that we are together this evening, that you bless everybody and you help us to find something new about you that we can connect with. Please bless everybody as we deal with the coronavirus situation. And let it end soon, if it's your will. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. So today's devotional is going to be relatively quick, but we are going to cover, the history of the world in a very quick devotional. And I titled it, "It Doesn't Make Sense Until It Does." I won't be able to see the chat. Let me see if I can try to open it. If you guys want to chime in, if you guys want to say anything, add anything, ask anything, I will try to answer as best as I can, and feel free to just unmute yourself and say anything that you would like to add. So I want to go ahead and start by, you know, it's nothing new. Most of the things that I'm going to be talking about today are things that we've heard, things that we're just tired of hearing because it's one of the most famous stories of the Bible. But I want to go over through them all, beginning in Genesis, right, where everything began. And I want to remind all of us that regardless of what point in time, God was and God is with us, right? So if we take a book of Genesis, right, and we see God never left. God created them. God was with them. There wasn't that distant relationship. God was there with them to the point that in order for them to be able to step away from God, they had to hide, right? So it says that they hid from the Lord because they were always with God. So I regardless of the situation, even at their deepest moment when they made the terrible mistake, when they committed sin, even at that point, God was looking for them. If we keep on going through the Bible, right, we skip a few pages over, we get to the book of Noah. Noah, another proof that regardless of what was going on, God wanted to preserve as much people as possible, right? He gave us warnings. He gave us things. He gave us a messenger. He gave them a messenger to say, hey, something's about to happen, right? Come on in, join me. Even when it started raining, people did not believe. And God was so loving God that although he wanted to rescue earth from itself, right? That's the whole reason why the flood happened. He wanted to literally rescue the few from itself. Everyone still had the chance of being redeemed, right? I think that's the word. Everyone had the chance of starting over. Everyone had the chance of beginning a new and closer relationship with God. And I think every day we do have that opportunity. It's just we don't get to see it in a massive, miraculous level like the flood. We keep on going. We few pages over, we all heard of the story of Job, right? That's the perfect example of how God is always with us, right? It didn't make sense. If you only read the first chapter and you've never heard of the story of Job, when you read the first part, you're like, what is going on? Why is the poor guy, you know, he's praying for everything. He's doing everything. He's living comfortably. He's worshiping God. He's doing everything he got to do. What's going on? Why is it happening? But because we are able to continue reading, right? For us, it makes total sense. But to the person living in that point, or let's compare it to us right now. Right now, for us, going through the midst of this crisis, going through the things that we're going through, it doesn't make sense. The dots yet don't connect. And I want to remind that although we cannot see far from us, right? There's a good saying in my country that says, "Men can only see up to their nose." I think that's how it's translated, right? We don't know what's going to happen in the future. Therefore, we cannot connect the dots. We can only connect the dots backwards and try to get an image of what we think it's trying to happen, but we can't see it accurately until the whole artwork, until the whole masterpiece is done. We keep on going to the story of Joseph, right? Joseph was faithful to God. And even when things were going higher for him, he went all the way back down again, right? Joseph started, he was happy at his house. He had a loving father, but all of a sudden, you know, the feud between the brothers began to grow and grow and grow even stronger and stronger, and to the point where he literally fell down. Well, he was literally down in a pit. Didn't fall, he was pushed, but he was literally in a pit. And sometimes we think that when we get to the pit, there's no way out. We think that in our emotional and spiritual life, that when we get to the pit, that's the lowest we can get. And on the other side, when we do get out of the pit, we think we are all set. We think we will never be able to fall back into a pit. And what happened to Joseph, right? He got to the palace. He did everything. He was a servant. And all of a sudden, he was in jail again. I thought you can only go up. What's happening, right? And when you see that part, only that section, right? When you put visors on and you only see that section, you see why was God blessing him and all of a sudden takes it all away? What's going on? Why did I get a job to only lose it a week later? Because of the coronavirus. Why am I just bought a house to now probably have to lose it? I have a new baby coming, and now I don't know what's going to happen. I thought I was being faithful to God. I thought I was doing everything I needed and I was going to be all set. Well, let me tell you, just like these people, and we're going to continue going further along the Bible, these people also did everything that was right. But that doesn't mean that we are not living in a sinful world, where things have consequences, where because of our ancestors, we have debt to pay. But let me tell you that regardless of how much struggles we go through, we have God that is always and will always be with us. Joseph, again, was taken out of prison. And because of that, he got to a very high place and he was able to do good by his family. But it only makes sense, everything he goes through, everything he went through, when you read the whole story, right? We are not able to read our whole story yet. And I get this question all the time. I actually got it from a very close friend. She's not from church. And she asked me, why, if you serve a God that you tell me that he loves all of us, the good and the bad, why is it happening? Shouldn't this happen only to the bad and not the good? Shouldn't all these things be happening to the wicked, to the people like me that don't go to church? Why are people from your church affected by this? Shouldn't your God protect you? We have in the Bible examples that people did went through midst of crisis. People did went through a lot of things. But at the end of the day, they came out victorious. This is not the end. And I think that many of us are starting to feel down because we thought it was only going to be a few weeks. We thought it was tops a month. And we think that this is the end for us. We think that this is it. But this is not the end of our story. If we continue reading, we have the Israelites, right? They made so many mistakes. We can literally go for days talking about all the mistakes that they did. But regardless of how many mistakes they made, who guided them day in and day out? Regardless of whether they were supposed to last only 40 days or 40 years, who was always with them? Who made sure they were always fed? Right? Those are the things that we need to be concerned, that regardless of the things that we're going through, we are still alive. regardless of the things that we're going through, we have no idea how many battles God is fighting on behalf of us. We continue reading. We move on now. We're all the way in David, right? In first and second of Samuel, right? David also went through a lot, right? He did some really bad things. He killed people, right? He killed people only to get with another man's wife, right? But God was able to redeem him because he was faithful to God, right? When we make mistakes, that does not mean it's the end for us. It means that we still have a chance of being who we can be with God on our side. We move on. Now, further along, we got Jonah. Jonah is a very spiritual character to me. I'm gonna say a little bit about Jonah. The reason why Jonah is very spiritual to me is because, as many of you guys know, or may know, I am studying for theology. And I've had, this is a personal for me, because I had the calling to study theology for many, 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 many years now, about 5 or 6 years now. And I've had friends of mine that had the calling, and I told them, listen, you have the calling. The best thing you can do is go study it. My own brother, I told him, listen, if you have the calling, stop fighting it. Go and study it. But yet I was fighting it, right? I have people that went to study it, came back, and they are already pastors. And I was over here fighting this story. And to me, everything changed when they asked me to do an in-depth study of a week-long Jonah series. And I thought it was just a typical Jonah. You know, he refused to do the task given at hand. He was eaten by a whale, and then he was thrown up, and he ended up having to do it anyways. But for me, it was a little more personal, because as I was studying it, didn't think any of it. I was just doing the task given at hand, right? I was not being a Jonah. Until I got up in the pulpit every night and I had to preach this thing. And I was literally preaching to myself how, you know, we have the calling, we have a task, and we're not doing the task given at hand. And I think at some point in life, we do realize that whether it's preaching, singing, serving others, playing an instrument, whatever it may be, we have a task given at hand. And sometimes either we misuse our talents, and we don't use them for God's given purpose, or we don't use the talents at all that were given to us. So to me, Jonah is a very special character, but regardless of whether he disobeyed or not disobeyed, I think the only person that I can say that came out of a whale alive after being eaten is Jonah, right? So God was there to protect him. God protected him all the way through, even when he disobeyed, even when, you know, when I was studying it, I realized how far he had to travel to go far from Nineveh. He literally had to go against the opposite direction. And he still ended up in the same spot. But regardless, God protected him, right? God is always going to protect each and every one of us. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for my life. If we let him take the wheel, we may not know why he's turning left, why he's turning right. We don't know why he's taking this road, because we don't know the destination. We don't know where is our end goal for us in earth. Spiritually, we do know that we want to go to heaven, but talking in earth, we don't know why he want me to start preaching when I am good in the marketing world, when I have a good job. Why you want me, I have an amazing job. Why you want me to give that up for, you know, a potential career in church as a pastor? Or, and that's my example. For other people, maybe, why you want me to leave that job to build up an organization that can serve other Adventists or the world? Why you want me to give up my stable position, put my livelihood at risk to create a ministry? Why you want me to leave the things that I have secure right now just to create a nonprofit for my community, to create a food bank, to create anything that we have the call? But we must understand that we are getting a call, and we must listen to that. And regardless of what that call is, no, do not be afraid, because God is with you. He was with every single person I've gone over, and he will be with you. We continue to read. Now we move on to Daniel. We all know what happened to Daniel and the three friends. They went through a lot, to say the least. And God was there with them. I don't think there's anyone that we can say that was thrown into a furnace and came out without even smelling like being burnt. But regardless, God was with them because they had faith. All of these men eventually had to take a leap of faith. At one point or another in their lives, they had to take a leap of faith. If I keep on going, we have, you know, we got Esther, who saved her own people because she was faithful. She ran a big risk by doing what she did, right? But she was faithful. She had faith. You know, the story of now we get to the point when Jesus was on earth. And, you know, so many stories that at the point made no sense until you read the whole story. Why would Jesus let his best friend die, Lazarus? In what world does that make any sense? You're over here saving people you don't even know. You're over here saving people that are randomly touching you, but you don't have time to save your friend who you were told to go save. Right? But things don't make sense for us in the moment. And I want to remind each and every one of us, in the moment, it may not make sense, but God has a plan. There's a song that says, God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too true to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart, right? We must have faith. We must believe that God is looking out for each and every one of us. There's a famous Chinese proverb that illustrate. I'm not sure how true this story is, but it's a good illustration, and I would like to use it. It talks about this man who had a farm, and he had beautiful horses, and he had this special horse that was really gorgeous. It was strong. The muscles were defined. It was good looking horse. And all of a sudden, the horse escaped. And when the horse escaped, the neighbors came out to him and said, listen, you must have bad luck because your horse left. He said, don't worry. In time, we will know. Only time will tell, right? The horse came back, and the horse came back with more horses, wild horses. They were old wild now. And the neighbors came back and said, listen, you must have really good luck. Horse came back with more horses. Now you have double or triple. He said, only time will tell. Now his son was trying to train the wild horses. And while he was trying to train the horses, he got hurt. The neighbors came back and said, you might have really bad luck. Now your son is hurt. You should have never let those horses in. He said, only time will tell. Then the army came in. There was an army. And when the army came in, he was recruiting all the young people from the neighborhood. And they didn't take him. They didn't take his son because he was hurt. The neighbors came back and said, listen, you must be a really lucky guy. They didn't take your son. They took all of our kids, but not yours. He said, only time will tell. At one point, our story can make sense. And then at another point, it may not make sense. And then at another one, it may make sense. And another one, it may not make no sense, right? We cannot see the full story yet. We are not the all-knowing. We don't know the future. Why are we going through this crisis? I cannot tell you, right? This crisis is not affecting sinners only, because it's affecting sinners and non-sinners. people that are willing and wicked and willing to commit sin, and people that are really trying not to commit sins. People that are going to church and atheists, Christians, Catholic, everything. It's affecting all of us. Why are we going through this? I cannot tell you. But I can tell you is that the Almighty God, the God that I serve, he has a plan. And I want to end with Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. It says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, I serve an almighty God, and I believe his word. And I believe that regardless of the things that we go through, regardless of what I think may be happening, God has a plan. Remember, it doesn't make sense until it does make sense.
If there's anybody who wants to share or ask questions, please feel free to unmute yourself. I know, Samuel, there's some questions in the chat for you. So,
let me see if I can find it. Okay, let me see. If our calling is ministry, if our calling isn't ministry, how do we know our calling is? For this, you gotta dig real deep. You gotta ask some, self essential questions and really find out what it is that you love to do. And how that thing that you love to do, how can that benefit others? Because no calling will be a selfish calling. That much I know. No calling will be a selfish calling. Everything is to serve others. There's not one act while Jesus was alive that was a selfish act. So that much I know. And if it is or is it ministering as we go, versus a position in the church, or is it we feel he's leading us? So again, this is all about having a true connection and relationship with God. If you don't know what your calling is, get closer to God. Try to hear his voice. It can be hard to hear his voice when there are so many things going on, so much uncertainty. It can be hard to be faithful, especially at this time. But if you have a good relationship with God, develop a better relationship with God. If you think that what you have, it's good, then keep going to even further. I remember my mother always told me, the closer you get to God, the further from God you feel, right? The more closer you get to God, the more you realize the more you need, right? So if at any point you feel that, oh, I'm good where I am, you need to keep praying because you're not. So keep praying, keep developing every single day your relationship with God, and eventually he will light up the pathway where he wants you to go. Now, with that being said, do not pray for a path if you're not ready or willing to take it, right? Do not pray. Prepare your soil before you pray for the blessings, right? You got to be ready, because he will come at you with things that he would like you to do, and you will end up like another Noah, right? Before you pray for his will to be done, be ready for really his will to be done. Let me see. How do you trust the quick door openings? How do I answer this question? Sometimes we do make mistakes. We are not all-knowing. There are some doors that we are going to unfortunately open that we should have probably never opened. But unless you have faith, I think that's the strongest thing, right? Faith and practice a good relationship with God, right? I honestly think that if you have a good relationship with God, majority of the noise will be blocked off. Majority of the things that are supposed to just distract you will be blocked. And you have a greater instinct at knowing what doors you should try to open and what doors you shouldn't. By staying home and not opening any doors will not do you any better either. Sometimes, let me see. But going for to the mission, told God to let me know a specific way. They specify the person. It's a story. Okay. Sometimes I think that's the hardest thing, praying to God to show the way, and then being willing to step through the door. Yes. So, you know, many of us pray, Lord, let thy will be done, right? But then when he shows thy will, you're like, I wasn't ready for that. That's not what I was expecting. Before we pray to God, before we pray for thy will be done, be ready for thy will be done, right? I made that same mistake, and you know, occasionally I make it as well, but I made the same mistake where I was like, hey, thy will be done, except studying theology. Thy will be done. I will preach whenever you want me to. I will do whatever you want me to, except studying theology. And it came to the point where I had to surrender myself because I realized that I was not living what I was preaching, right? I was literally preaching to a whole congregation about Noah while I was being a Noah. How ridiculous is that, right? Many of us do that. We preach the word, but we may not be living the entire word, right? We must know the word that we preach, and we must live by those words. So we got to be ready for whatever comes our way. There are things that are going to come our way that we're not going to be willing to do. There are things that are going to come our way that God is expecting us to do that we'd rather not do. There are things that are going to come our way that we have no clue why or how that fits into the plan. Trust me, when I was growing up, being a pastor was not part of my plan. It was the furthest away from my plan at all. I still picture myself working in the ministry. I still picture myself preaching. I love preaching since I was young. But being a pastor was never part of my plan. And I can tell you, I have no clue how my future will end. I have no clue. I just know that I'm living day by day with faith, knowing that today this is what God wants me to do. I don't know what he's going to ask from me tomorrow. But we must live by faith, and we must believe and understand that God has a plan and that he's Almighty God. And that if we truly believe that he is an Almighty God, we must really be willing to accept his will. Yes, Matthew, yes. God has a way of interrupting our plans when our plans aren't focused on him. Yes, I truly 100% agree with that. And even when we think that we have a perfect plan, we forget that, you know, we have a purpose for living a life, for having the privilege of being alive. We have a purpose, and we must fulfill that purpose. If we don't fulfill our mission, someone else will. At the end of the day, God's will be done, right? If we're not the one going out and preaching whatever ways we can, someone else will. He will use someone else. But we must do the job that was given at hand. I don't think I have any more questions. Yes. Do you guys have any prayer requests? I know that with this crisis going on, I have some personal struggles going through just in my church. Someone passed away, so it's a little it's getting a lot closer to home than I expected, but yes, unmute yourself if you want to give a testimony. Maybe someone did get better, or if you want me to write down information so that I can pray, feel free to either say it in the chat, or feel free to unmute yourself and and say any prayer requests you may have.
Hey Samuel, I'll say that. I put it in the chat as well, but I'll say it's been my prayer, I believe, every time this week, and I'm just continuing to pray for salvation for lost loved ones. One of my cousins, I feel, is searching, and she's kind of had a cold heart towards God, but there's been some things in the family that, you know, related to health, related things within the family that has kind of got her to value prayer a little bit more. So I see that as a sign of her seeking. And that's a big step for her, because she would usually not be the one that would even seek prayer. So praying for her heart to be softened, and for the rest, and then wisdom for a book I'm publishing. So
awesome. Awesome. Anyone else? All righty. So I see a request here for Canada. We are holding a day of mourning for 22 victims in the shooting last weekend. Which is why I'm wearing red. It has affected people directly across the country. We will definitely be praying for Canada as well. So let's, unless there are any other prayer requests, let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to say thank you once again. Thank you because in the midst of everything that is going on, we have physical proof that you've always been with your people. And we have the faith and the certainty that you will continue to be with us throughout time. We have no clue to understand your plans. We are not wise enough to see beyond our noses. We cannot understand why it is that we are going through this as a worldwide pandemic. We cannot fully understand. We cannot understand why most things happen. We don't understand how a shooting can fit into this chaotic thing that we are forced to wake up to. So many deaths, so many bad things are happening around the world. But we have faith and we know that you are in control. We know that sometimes we have to pay for consequences of the sinful world that we live. We understand that because of our nature, we have a sinful nature of sinning. But we know that you came and that you sent your son to die on a cross for each and every one of us. Just so that we can be redeemed, so that we can eventually leave this sinful world and be part of the eternal life family. This moment in time, I want to take a special second to pray for the people mentioned in this video call. You know, each and every one of them. Please be with those that have been affected by this deadly virus. Please be with those families that have lost one of their own, that have lost a loved one, that have lost a close one. And to make things worse, they cannot say their proper goodbyes, as we say. They cannot do their proper burials because of the current situation that we're living. But we ask you, Lord, that you may be with the family. We know that the dead is dead and they cannot feel anything. But, you know, those that are living are living in a very painful world, and they will sadly continue to be in pain. But I want to ask you that you can be with them, that you can console their hearts, that you can let them know that regardless of the situation that they're going through, you are with them. I want to also ask you to be with those that have lost one due to gun violence or any violence at all. You see Canada that is mourning so many people that have died because of deadly weapons. I want to ask you that you can be with those families, that you can be with them, and they may never understand why their son, why their husband, their wife, their loved one, their daughter had to go through this. But allow them to have the faith to understand that you are in control. Thank you for everything you've done for us. And we ask you that you can forgive all of our sins, and you can allow us to get closer to you in a way that you can say what you said about David, that we have, David was of his own heart, that our hearts and our will can be one in one synchronized with you, that we can be able to understand what you're trying to tell us so that we can make the right decisions, we can take the right path, and we can open the right door. Allow us to get closer to you so that when God comes, when you come, we may ascend to heaven with you so that others can see what we're working towards to is eternal life, and that others can see you through us working towards one goal, which is eternal life. Thank you for everything you've done for us. In your name we pray. Amen.